Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Herrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Herrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Herrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is I Got to Let You Know by Los Lobos. From their first full-length album, at least, 1984's How Will the Wolf Survive? I got asked in a Grizzlies mailbag sometime in the last year what I thought the most underrated American band was, and that was a fun question to mull over, and I ended up landing on Los Lobos. Anyway, that song's led by guitarist Cesar Rosas, who is born on this day in 1954.
Who else were you contemplating, Chris, in that before landing on Los Lobos?
You know, I don't remember. I went through a lot of different bands, the New York Dolls, Steely Dan, for various reasons, and I don't even remember who else, okay. But I landed on Los Lobos.
All right. So Drew let us know that John Moran is going to be negotiating his own deal when he has his next deal with the help of this new group that's going to be advising athletes, I gather, which includes his uncle and others.
Well, a new group that hopes to be advising athletes. They're advising John Moran.
Right. At least one athlete. They're going to be advising at least one athlete and aspires very clearly to advise others. It's honest. Like it's just in terms of the arrangement. Instead of having an agent who takes 4%, I mean, Shane Battier used to do this. He had a law firm that did his work and he paid him at the hourly wage of a law firm. And this is not it's not typical, but it's not unheard of that people will say, you know what, I don't need to give 4% of my deal to an agent. I can just pay someone to advise me, you know, whatever. That is not unheard of. What do you make of this, A, and B, remind me what Ja's contractual situation is?
Well, I had sort of two thoughts about it, and one of them you already voiced pretty well, which is that, and as Drew points out in the story, this is not an unprecedented thing for an athlete to forego a traditional agent. It is often done, not always, Shane Battier was not in this situation, but it is often done by amongst our players, players who don't have a lot to negotiate necessarily. Like with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, it is give me all the stuff, and so they give him all the stuff. And he doesn't need like an agent to like negotiate getting all the stuff because they're just going to give him all the stuff. That is not quite the position John Morant is in right now, which makes me raise at least a small eyebrow at it, because I think whatever, and that's the second part of your question we'll get to, but I think whatever he's going to have to negotiate is not going to be as simple as what Shea Gilgeous-Alexander had to negotiate, and so do you need more of an agent for that? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But it is not the idea of doing something that's more a la carte in terms of representation, or rather than a full scale like commitment to a person to an agent. It's not, you know, that could be a sound way to go. Certainly, other athletes have made that decision, so that seems fine. The other part of it, though, in terms of this business that has been set up to do this, even if that is a good idea, and it may be, I'm not saying it's not. I really don't know. But if that is a good idea, the question before it is it a good idea for people not named John Morant? In other words, if this setup works for John Morant with John Morant's people,
yep.
Should some other athlete hire John Morant's people, or should they set up their own thing with their own people? And making the case why you should be doing this for other people is, you know, that's a case that Kevin Helms and Tom Morant and that group is going to have to make. You know, they don't have to persuade me. They have to persuade right. other athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I obviously, and that is their intention is to go right. and to do this beyond John Morant being the first that they would deal with. In terms of his situation, what is his situation? What's Ja's contractual situation?
Yeah. He's under contract. He is on, I think this season will be the third season of a 5-year contract. I think that's right. He definitely has 3 more seasons left, this season and 2 more after this.
Okay.
So he's under contract long-term already.
Yep.
The way he is extension eligible, and I can't remember the exact details, but at a certain point into a contract, you become extension eligible. And we sort of went through this with Jaren Jackson Jr. a little bit. He did the renegotiate and extend. Under the current NBA collective bargaining agreement, contracts can only be 5 years in length. That's the maximum length of a contract. And so if you're extending off a current contract, you can only extend to the point that you create the 5-year length. That's still the maximum.
I see.
And so with Jaren, because he was extending off of a deal with 1 year left, he did a 4-year extension. With Ja, who has 3 years left, if he were to do an extension this summer, and there's no indication that's going to happen, but if he were to do an extension this summer, it could only be a 2-year extension. And so, like, next summer, it could be a 3-year extension and so forth. And so, I mean, one of the questions here is, you know, what does Ja want? What does this team want? None of that is public, and I don't know the answer to either of it. I could actually make an educated guess based on just understanding the landscape. And my educated guess is that if the Grizzlies put a 2-year extension at the maximum they could give on the table, Ja would sign it. That's my guess. And my guess is that because that hasn't happened, it's because the deal's not there, which to me makes all the sense in the world. He's got 3 years left on the deal. He's missed a lot of games the last 2 years. My guess, and again, this is only my guess, is that the Grizzlies are probably looking at that. The logic of that would be to say, let's wait and see on this. Like, we got you. We love you. We have you under contract for 3 more years already. Let's see how this season goes and revisit next summer. And, you know, there could be a 3-year extension on the table potentially next summer, depending on how things go. That would be my guess as to where things are.
Is there in this situation a moment where if you're not giving someone the full extension, and I don't know how much a quote unquote full extension, max extension for him would be at this point, but is there, does it become notable if you're not doing it? Like if next summer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. It could be. That depends on whether the player finds it notable and wants to make it notable.
Right.
The fact that there's 3 years left to me suggests it should not be a particularly thorny situation right now. Now, Ja could choose to make it a thorny situation if he wanted it to, but he's got 3 years left on the current deal. That's a long time. And so it's not like some automatic that if you have 3 years left on your deal, you're immediately getting extensions, like no matter right. who you are. That is not really a normal expectation. So I suspect the Ja extension story, and who knows, could be a surprise. It could be something next week. But my guess is that the Ja extension story is more of a story next summer than it is right now or during the season.
It felt like it bubbled up a little bit earlier this summer. There was some conversation about it. I don't know why.
There was a lot of whispering in national media, a lot of hinting, I should say. There was widespread hinting in the national media about Ja Morant's future with the Grizzlies. And without getting into too many details of things I can't really say, I think a lot of people nationally had bad information about what was coming with Ja Morant. I don't think Ja Morant being represented by, you know, by Kevin Helms and Phil Morant is what a lot of national media people thought was going to happen.
Right.
Back then, he was represented
by Mike Miller, and there was this thought that he might ask out or something, right, I think was what you would hear.
That's what was being hinted, yes. Yeah.
And that obviously didn't happen. He no longer has Mike Miller as his representation, and now he has this new group, which will be guiding him. Can you imagine, Chris, that if they gets off to a, I mean, one of the storylines you said in your piece yesterday, and Ja Morant is always going to be a storyline. I like the way you put it though, because I had totally forgotten that last year with the I get up or he gets up or we get up or whatever it was.
It was I get up. It's a picture of him in the air dunking. And I thought, you know, kudos to the marketing ad people at Nike.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was a brilliant, the double meaning is all there. Both meanings are fully earned. I thought it was quite an elegant campaign, actually.
And then what was last year?
It was a real mixed bag because there were stretches where he was as good as ever. I mean, in different ways. I mean, I remember making this case, you know, in print on this show. I thought he was playing some of the best basketball of his career in totality, and it was the plus minus was showing it. And it was, even though his scoring was down, the assists were up, the steals were up, the defensive metrics were up, the team was humming. I thought he was playing great. At the end of the season, the team was struggling, but he was started scoring 30 points a game or whatever again. I don't think those two things are necessarily related, by the way. But then in the middle of all of it, he was just missing games left and right. And he went through that period, that mopey period in the middle of the season. Remember that game, right?
Right.
Where he's laying on the end of the bench and covering his face and clearly was unhappy. And so it was a real up and down. It was not all down. It wasn't the year before where you play 9 games and you have a league suspension and all this other stuff. It was an up and down, and there were ups, but it was not a full-throated return to what he had been before.
And even after he was back and no longer moping, there was a lot of discussion about whether he was a tick less explosive, right? Whether that was starting to take a wear and tear, whether he just wasn't physically quite what he had been. But it is interesting. Then, you know, they're on the verge of beating Oklahoma City, and he looks tremendous in that game, and then he gets hurt again.
Yeah. I don't think I think the idea of what's the long term with Morant is a real question in terms of maintaining a certain level of ability as you cross into your 30s. He just turned 26, and I know he's had a lot of injuries, a lot of wear and tear stuff. He hasn't had a big one, right? Really. The shoulder thing was a big one, but that's not the kind of big one that changes your career. He hasn't had the Derrick Rose,
the John Wall or whatever. Yeah, nothing
nothing like that. And so I don't have any doubts about his ability to play at the All-NBA level he has shown still. Now, do I think that ability will be there at age 32 like Chris Paul had it at 32? That's a different question. But do I think he can play that way at 26, 27, 28? Yeah, I absolutely do.
Yeah. The problem, of course, is that with Ja, this is true of any player, but it feels more true with Ja. I mean, you'd have looked up and Fred VanVleet's gone and whatever, but you can have the 17 best games of his career and then he can go up and land badly and then we're...
Well, that was definitely the story of last season for fans. It was you're just always waiting for the quote-unquote other shoe to drop, which in this case is the hip hitting the floor.
Right.
And that is why that moment instantly changed that game in game 3. It wasn't just that the star player had the injury, or it was that as soon as it happened, everyone felt the same way about it. Everybody, right. Every fan, every player on the bench, probably every coach, everybody, because people have been primed to worry about the exact thing that happened. And that is going to be a struggle. And that will never fully go away.
No.
I mean, he can play 40 straight games and it won't go away. But if he plays 40 straight games, it'll be a little bit less of a thing.
Right. I guess that was the question I was going to get to. Can you imagine that if it gets up to a rollicking start, the Grizzlies are, 17-5 and Ja is playing tremendously, that there is a midseason extension here?
Oh, maybe. I don't have any intel about that. Yes. Would that surprise me? No. It wouldn't surprise me. Again, when I say I think it's likely to be a next summer issue, I do think that's likely. But if the season goes a certain way, do they jump, what I consider jump the gun on that? Sure, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, it is interesting. So there was a reset last year, and now there's another reset this year, this time around the Ja threes and the trip to China and everything else. And it all is it's cast in relief by that recent ESPN ranking of the best survey about the best American players and the best American players in 5 years. It's not just that Ja wasn't on either of those lists. It's that the lists are so undistinguished that he can be back on that list in a moment, right?
100%. And that's what we all hope for, man. I mean, whether you are all in rah-rah Morant super fan or you're a Memphis Grizzlies fan who's getting a little tired of the drama, either way, Like, right. Everyone wants Ja Morant to be awesome immediately and to stay that way next season. That's what everybody wants.
Yeah. All right, a few other things, Chris, before I let you go. What did you think of Skinny Zion?
I haven't seen it, but that's a rite of passage. That's what the preseason is for.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this is not the first time there's been Skinny Zion. No. Don't we have a Skinny Zion every year at some point on social media before the season?
We've had him before, yes. We've had him before.
So we'll see. I mean, that even more than Morant is like, get back to me 3 months into the season and tell me what's up, you know?
Okay, but if he – like, there's some teams that at the dregs of this conference that you can't imagine making a playoff push. But is there a – and obviously the Pelicans, it's a strange roster – but can you imagine it? Like, it basically mostly based around Zion. Can you imagine them having?
Yeah, but with a ceiling on it. Like, the Grizzlies are a team where there are a lot of questions, but you tell me absolutely everything goes right, I think they could be a top four team in the West. Like, that's probably not going to happen, right? But if everything goes right, most people are going to project them to be the play in. If everything goes right, they could be a top four team in the West. The Pelicans are the same thing, but a couple steps down the ladder. They're a team everyone's projecting to be a bottom three team in the West. And if absolutely everything goes right, like, they're probably a play-in team. Right? And so, like,
right.
Yeah, they could be much better than expected if, like, Zion plays 70 games at all-NBA level and Trey Murphy stays healthy and Jordan Poole passes every once in a while and, like, all this stuff happens. But, like, to me, the ceiling on them is where the Grizzlies are projected to be.
All right, and then finally we got our promotional schedule. You do five stars, you're four stars, whatever you do, you hand out stars for games. I'm going to ask you, on a scale of five stars being the best, one star being the worst, I'm going to give you some of the items here, and you can tell me how many stars you would give that item. The 25th anniversary T-shirt designed by Good Hippie, that's opening night.
Well, the fact that it's designed by the local clothing lifestyle people who I think have done good stuff, it definitely gives it up. The problem with the T-shirts are twofold. One, I assume there's going to be a corporate logo somewhere on there that's financed it. Uh-huh. And, like, to me, that really downgrades stuff. And then there's I assume, I don't know, they're giving out larges. Fit. They're probably giving out one size.
Right.
And so, for me personally, I need a double X, and I'm not getting that if I'm walking through the building. So it will those two strikes for me will make it something I would never use, but I would, like, hand off to someone else.
All
right. So I don't know. I'll give it 3.5 because of the Good Hippie.
Okay, how about
it would have been 2.5.
The Grizzlies trick or treat bucket, which you can then bring back for concourse trick or treating pregame another day.
So are they going to turn down giving candy to kids who don't have the bucket from the previous game?
No,
are they going to treat those kids like the kids in the Golden State uniforms that Ja Morant wanted to dap up Ja Morant? And he said, no, thank you.
Come back
with your Grizzlies jersey if you want dap. Is that what we're going to do?
I don't believe that could be. They could not be doing that. No Dikembe finger wag there. Yeah.
I think if you have little kids, that's a good one. If you have little kids and you go to a lot of games, that's a very good idea. I like it. I'll give it 4 stars.
There are two different sunglass nights, one city edition and one sunglasses. How many stars? You like the sunglasses, right?
I'm very pro sunglasses. So as someone who, like, covers the team, I don't, like, wear team gear, especially team gear that's given out by the team. But I make a couple of exceptions. One is the scarf, because the scarf is very high quality they've done in the
really
past.
Really good. Scarf is awesome.
And you don't, like, use it that often anyway. I use a little bit more these days, but I like the scarf. And I will 100%, in fact, almost no matter who you are, if you give me free sunglasses, I'll probably wear them, because I don't like to pay more than, like, $10 for sunglasses. I prefer to have free sunglasses because I lose them all the time anyway.
Right.
So the Grizzlies, like, give me a bucket of your Grizzly sunglasses and I will wear them.
5 stars for the sunglasses. The superhero Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr. lunchbox.
Oh, that's another good one. Again, if you have kids, or maybe, like, you're just a hipster like that, you want to, like, go to the coffee shop with your Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson lunchbox and have your stuff in there. I haven't seen it. I mean, you know, it's hard to grade something without having actually seen it. But conceptually, it's something new. It's something novel. I think that's probably one of the better ones. In fact, even if you're not a little kid, you're not going to be the hipster at the coffee shop with it. You could, like, put it on your shelf behind you on your, like, Zoom calls or whatever. And so I'm going to give that 4.5 stars.
Your classic edition Super Grizz bobblehead. Super Grizz.
I'm not a bobblehead guy necessarily. And so that's a good one. People like bobbleheads. You know, sure, 4 stars. I'm going to be generous. It's not something I would personally prize, but I think a lot of people would like that.
All right, the John Morant call 12 cell phone.
I don't know what that means.
I
assume
either.
It's not a real cell phone. Is it a burner? What are we doing?
Jeffrey, what is this? It's a real cell phone, right? What is it?
Is it a Zeebo-style phone burner that you could have in the locker room?
I think it's a Kevin Durant burner. You think it's a fake one?
I mean, I assumed it was going to be like one of the cell phones that I step on that my daughter has in my house.
Okay, that one's got we have to get to the bottom of that one before we can give it the magnet, schedule magnet, Chris.
Well, that's almost beyond grades. That is a life accessory that I have to have.
That's preseason games, and then the classic Super Grizz squish. What's a squish? That's like a ball you squish, Jeffrey, like for to relieve your tension when you're worrying about.
I was thinking it was like a squishy like
Desmond Bane,
like a doll almost. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's a wrestling buddy.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's the stress relief ball, that sounds cool. I'll take that. If it's the doll. I would pass up mine for let someone else have it.
All right, have a good Rico and Chris, and have a safe trip down here. Oh, wait, have you seen the movie yet? Have you gone and seen One Battle After Another, or have you arranged
to
see
it? No, got a ticket. My son and I are going to see it at 6 p.m. on the IMAX screen today, so I'm going to get that in and then leave in the morning and come to Memphis.
All right, safe travels. Thank you.
All right,
we're going to take a break. Jeffrey, what's happening in the Ryder Cup?
Jeff, we have now one match on the golf course, and the U.S. no longer has a lead. We are all tied on the 16th hole. Xander Schauffele did, however, just hit his approach to about 10 to 15 feet, so they should have a birdie opportunity.
God, this is kind of critical, isn't it?
They cannot go without a win. Like, 3-1 is, like...
Bad enough.
Yes.
We're going to come back, and Jeffrey's going to make you rich. We're going to do that on the other side with the college football schedule. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Well, I mentioned it's going to be spectacular weather this weekend. Perfect time to get to Ragin' Cajun right there in Bartlett. I was thrilled and maybe a little surprised, because it normally takes a while for a restaurant to start appearing in the Best of Memphis rankings. But Ragin' Cajun already appearing in the Flyers' Best of Memphis rankings. And that's appropriate, because it is fabulous. Claire and I had a great time. 2740 Bartlett Road in Bartlett. And it's a neighborhood Cajun restaurant. That's what it is. Mason Jambon, who's from New Orleans, was intimately involved with Bounty on Broad, the great restaurant that I talked about for a long time. And he said, you know, we need a New Orleans style place that feels like one of the neighborhood restaurants that I grew up going to. That's what he's created there in Bartlett. They bring the Leidenheimer bread up from New Orleans. And it is absolutely spectacular for the po' boys. Whatever you like on your po' boy, whether it's the roast beef, whether it's the andouille sausage, whether it's the oysters, which is what I get They got fabulous po' boys. They got the sausage and cheese plate is unbelievable. The Who Dat Catfish, that's a fried catfish filet topped with crawfish etouffee. Spectacular. They got easy parking, great outside seating. That gets us back to what a spectacular weekend it's been. So sometime this weekend, if you haven't been, get yourself the Ragin' Cajun. If you have been, by all means, make another trip. This perfect weekend for it. If you want to check them out on the web, Cajun901.com, Cajun901.com. All right, this is that time. And I had someone write me earlier and ask me to distinguish for any young listeners to distinguish between gambling and investing. And what I would say is that gambling is gambling. Investing is investing, right? Wouldn't you say that's true, Jeffrey? And so let's not get those confused. But I do every year take 10 crisp $100 bills and I hand them to Jeffrey and I tell him to go forth and, invest for me. And
am I not taking a look at a price and evaluating whether or not?
That seems to be. Yeah, exactly right. And how are we doing with my $1,000, Jeffrey?
Here comes the money. Here we go.
Jeff. Through week four action, we're now sitting at 29-18-1 on the season. Your $1,000 is now $1,955.
That seems pretty good to me. How you feeling about this slate? By the way, you had some tough breaks last week.
Yeah, whenever you're watching Bad Beats on SVP and you see three of your games were on there. We went 6-6-1. Again, we had some bad beats, but that's the game. We tipped the dealer and we moved on.
All right. Where are we starting?
Jeff, let's start tonight. We got two Friday night games. We've got the, I know this is a trap, but I don't really care. I'm trusting my eyes. Florida State goes to Charlottesville. Florida State currently a 6.5-point favorite. I know there were some questions about whether Tommy Castellanos was going to be healthy. This just strikes me as one team has a lot better players than the other. Also, Tony Elliott, head coach at UVA, asked his team this week how many of his guys wanted to play pro football. And when they raised their hands, he said, this is your only chance getting to play Florida State. I'll lay the 6.5.
It seems like a crazy line.
I'm just hoping the power ratings are wrong.
All right. Florida State, -6.5 over UVA. Next.
Jeff, we go to Tempe, Arizona tonight. Arizona State hosting TCU. This is yet again a trust your eyes. I think Josh Hoover's a really good quarterback. I think TCU's a good team. I'm going to ride with the Horned Frogs. Give me the 3.
TCU +3 over Arizona State.
Jeff, this is the why in the hell could you trust Kansas State portion of the broadcast. Well, everyone knows that I'm not the world's biggest Scott Frost fan. If you're going to give me 6 points against Kansas State, I'm just going to have to take it. Give me 6.
What has gone wrong with Kansas State?
I don't have a great answer for you.
It began with such promise.
I Avery Johnson is not been good. I also don't know if they're necessarily utilizing him in the right way, but it just looks like a team that is wildly uninspired.
UCF +6 over K-State. Next.
That's right, Jeff. We've reached the Undertaker portion of today's card. We got a bunch of games with totals that I think are way, way too high. Let's go to Utah and West Virginia. Evan Dampier, perhaps not playing. We don't even know if whether or not West Virginia has starting quarterbacks. The total's 47.5. Let's just go right under that total.
47.5, Utah and West Virginia, take the under. Next.
Jeff, let's go to Annapolis, Maryland. Of course, Jeff, one of the principal plays is Service Academy unders.
Yes.
Well, now that everyone's caught on to our Service Academy unders, the totals keep going low, so you got to really work and find some new ones. Rice runs the option. Rice runs it down. Rice runs the football as much as Army and Navy, and even more so than Air Force. The total's at 45.5. You gave us that in a Service Academy under. We'd hammer the crap out of that. Give me under 45.5.
under 45 and a half or under 47 and a half?
I think the card's wrong. It's 45 and a half.
Okay. 45 and a half. 45 and a half under, that is Rice and Navy. Next.
Jeff, let's head to Oxford, Mississippi. Lane Kiffin and SEC play unders have hit 12 out of the last 16 games. I think LSU's got the best defense that Chambliss is ever going to see. And more importantly, I still don't think LSU can block it up. 57 points feels way too high. I'm going to go under there as well.
All right, let's just go ahead, though, and discuss this game. What's the line?
Line is currently a point and a half.
And if you had to bet,
if I had to bet, there? I think I'd probably go with Ole Miss at home.
And what would your theory be?
My theory would be this game is kind of weakness versus weakness. Ole Miss's defensive line has not generated a lot of pass rush, has not generated a lot of negative plays. LSU's offensive line hasn't really blocked anyone. I think I would trust the home crowd, the noise creating communication problems, that Ole Miss would be able to take advantage of that a little bit more. But there's a reason why we didn't bet it.
Okay, you would take Ole Miss and lay the one and a half. I mean, you'd get a point and a half, right? Is you getting a point and a half?
You'd be laying a point and a half. Ole Miss is actually a favorite.
But what we're going to do is we're going to bet the under 57.
Correct. We're taking under 57. Jeff, we have our one team traveling a long way. Mm. And also, Lincoln Riley's already started whining. Already complaining about playing the latest game last week and having to play the earliest game
this week. He's really grumpy about
it. Also traveling 3,000 miles. Yes, Illinois is down to like their 17th best DBs. This is just a hold your nose. Give me 7 points. I'll take the Illini.
They did not do well by you last week.
They did not, but they're at home this week.
All right. Next.
Jeff, let's go down to College Station. Mm. Where Texas A&M is hosting Auburn. This is admittedly a very scary spot for me, trusting a Hugh Freeze team. He got his team up, and they played really well against Oklahoma. Really tough defense. I'm going to trust.
And they were cheated.
Of course, they were cheated, and he just wants everyone to be honest about. He just wants everyone to be honest and upfront in their lives with their injury report. So, of course, no better person to do as I say but not as I do than Hugh Freeze. But more importantly, Texas A&M has been leaky against the run, and their offense is very dependent on explosive plays. DJ Durkin done a pretty good job limiting explosive plays. I like Auburn. I like this matchup. Give me 7 points.
Auburn +7 over Texas A&M. Next.
Jeff, we are going to trust the process because you said at the beginning of the show, and I think probably rightly so, well, that Ohio State number doesn't look very big. That looks like a number that you'd lay. Ohio State going across three time zones, going to Seattle to take on Washington. There's an 8.5 out there. I'm going to take the 8.5 and pray to God the back door's open. It'll be Julian Sands' first true road start. I'm going to say that Washington can score enough a little bit, keep this interesting, give me 8.5.
The principle is the
teams that are traveling, they play significantly worse.
Washington +8.5. Over Ohio State.
Jeff, this is normally a total I wouldn't take, but I'm just going to roll with it. Tennessee goes to Starkville tomorrow. This just feels like a game that could get drunk in the afternoon. The total's 62.5. Let's take the over.
Tennessee, Mississippi State, 62.5. Take the over. The line is 7.5. If you had to bet it, which way would you go?
I was leaning to Mississippi State, but I'm also very worried. Heupel does very well against protégés.
Next.
Jeff, let's go to Palo Alto, California, where Stanford will be hosting San Jose on, you guessed it, the ACC Network. When you think ACC Network, you think Stanford hosting San Jose State. The truth is, Stanford shouldn't be favored against anyone. Give me 3.5. I'll take the Spartans.
San Jose State +3.5 over the woeful Stanford Cardinal?
Cardinal, yeah. Correct.
Next.
Jeff, let's go to Happy Valley. Mm. And we're going to do something that we pretty much never do.
Yeah, what's that?
We're going to trust James Franklin.
Oh, my God.
In a big game.
Oh, my God.
I know it's a top 10 matchup.
Holy smoke.
I know all the numbers. Those are really just Ohio State and Michigan stats. Also, I got Oregon going all the way across the country. I got Dante Moore making his first big road start. I know he started at UCLA. We got a whiteout. I think the energy is going to be there. I like Penn State to in this game. I think the physical defense might give Ohio State, or beg your pardon, might give Oregon and their receivers some problems. I also am not sure about them up front. I'm going to lay the 3.5. Give me Penn State.
Penn State minus 3.5 over Oregon. And so there you go. All right.
What oh my God, I'm so scared.
Just generally you're scared. What other massive games? Alabama, Georgia.
So I just got spooked because the entire world's on Georgia.
What's the line now?
Right now it's at 3. This is a game I'm probably going to be watching and looking for a live betting opportunity.
Let's see. Is there another interesting one that we haven't touched? How about Memphis? What do you think of the Memphis game? What's the line there?
It's 14. I was close, but it's just like there's too much to focus on. I'm just not going to lay 14 on the road.
How about Notre Dame at Arkansas?
I considered taking the over, right there it's 4.5. I think it's a pretty good spot for Arkansas. I just don't know where their mentality is. I thought about taking the 4.5, but also Notre Dame under Freeman, very good, even as a road favorite, particularly when it's under a touchdown. I just didn't want to touch it, and then everybody on the planet's on the over.
All right, here's the card. Florida State minus 6.5 over Virginia. TCU plus 3 over Arizona State. UCF plus 6 over K-State. Illinois plus 7 over USC. We got a bunch of unders here. Utah and West Virginia under 47.5. Navy and Rice under 45.5. Ole Miss and LSU under 57. Is that right, Jeffrey?
Indeed.
I'm reading that correctly. Auburn, go ahead and take Auburn plus 7 over Texas A&M. Washington plus 8.5 over Ohio State. Tennessee and State, they're over 62.5. Take San Jose State plus 3.5 over the woeful Stanford Cardinal. And Penn State, he's doing it. He's trusting James Franklin.
Oh, God.
Penn State minus 3.5 over Oregon. There you go. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Jeffrey, let's have a Ryder Cup update.
Jeff, it looks like the U.S. is in a decent position to pick up at least 1 point after Europe won the first 3 matches of the day. Team Europe drove the ball in the 18th rough, and they have a bunker shot that they left to about 15 feet for par, while the U.S. at least has a birdie putt. They just need a half of this hole, and they will win the match, so we would go to the afternoon at 3-1.
So, not great, but not a disaster.
It would be better than 3.5 to 1/2, which is at 1 point with this where this was headed.
All right.
More importantly, Jeff, if you look over at Data Golf, who's tracking the strokes gain of how everyone played, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the top 8 players are all European, Bryson being the lone American being at 3rd. If Scottie Scheffler is going to be minus strokes gained, we're going to have a tough time.
There was a update courtesy of Sam Hardiman and Laura Testino over at the Daily Memphian about this, the National Guard and whatnot. And here's the story. Crime reduction efforts under the Memphis Safe Task Force will begin next week. Provide a generational opportunity to improve safety in the city, Governor Bill Lee told reporters during a press conference in Memphis Friday. That would be today, Jeffrey. The effort includes the deployment of the National Guard and an infusion of state money. Lee spoke from the Tennessee Highway Patrol's local headquarters, and the Tennessee Highway Patrol will play a major role in the task force. So there you go. All 13 agencies will have personnel on the ground in Memphis. The task force will expand in Memphis in phases over the next weeks and months, Lee said, with personnel arriving as early as Monday, September 29th. The goal is lasting safety and the mission will be sustained, Lee said. So there you go. That's the news from there. Again, you also had the news, breaking news from Drew Hill, that John Morant is going to negotiate his own contract with the help of this new group, which you can read about at the Daily Memphian. We barely touched on the NFL, Jeffrey, because we have so much else going on. But it is a you can watch one NFL game. You're going to watch Jackson Dart.
Yeah, but if I'm setting aside, like,
you're setting aside that, your own personal bias.
Correct. That's my team, and I'm excited we have a new quarterback, and you got that new quarterback smell. I think it has to be Baltimore, Kansas City.
And what do you expect? I expect the Ravens to roll.
I for whatever reason, I don't know. I just kind of think this is a spot. I don't trust the back end of Baltimore's defense, and Kansas City's pretty good against the run. I don't know. Maybe I'm the idiot on this one, but I just kind of think Kansas City at home, I kind of like them.
I'd say nobody circles the wagons like the Chiefs, but that's a Buffalo slogan.
Yes, of course.
So you can't be doing that. Xavier Worthy, I think, is expected to play, is he not? I think
It seems like he was trending towards playing.
And I think that will make a massive difference. My view is that the Chiefs need it more. If you look at the Ravens' schedule, they got a few tough tilts, but not many. The second half of the schedule gets really soft for the Ravens, whereas the Chiefs, it's brutal. It continues to be brutal. And so I think the Chiefs need this one.
Honestly, that's kind of my thought is, like, when you talked about it on Monday, when you look at the – or we talked about it Tuesday, right, because after Baltimore lost.
Yeah.
When you look at the schedule, like, Kansas City's going to need this one a lot more than Baltimore is.
Other interesting games, you got the Eagles against the Bucs. Jeffrey's concerned there, but the Bucs offensive line has been banged up. But Tristan Wirfs may be returning, I think, for this
one.
Yeah,
I mean –
And can anyone stop the Eagles is sort of the question here.
And then I think you're right. Like, hey, how real is this Daniel Jones thing? Because if they can go to L.A. and put up a good performance, if not a win, then all of a sudden, like, the AFC South's, like, interesting because the Colts might have injured the chat and the Texans might have exited.
And the meanwhile, we got some just brutal matchups, too. Like,
oh, my gosh. Oh,
right?
Boy.
Is it Texans-Titans?
Texans-Titans, baby.
Texans-Titans.
Who's not excited?
There is some beauty in that, though. You know, like, the Texans just have to get that game.
Are you looking forward to the New Orleans scrimmage?
I'm going to tell you, take New Orleans in the points. Spencer Rattler's played well, and the Bills seem
You must not have watched last week. I mean, he was, to be clear, he was not the only reason they got slaughtered, but
I think the line there is 16? 16
yeah,
and a half,
yeah.
Something like that. All right. What is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Parthi Upadhyay will join their program today. DeMichael Cole will be with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Blake Topmeyer will join us today. Cobb with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, buddy. We got to get out of here. Back on Monday. For now, work is done.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.